In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Good morning and happy 4th of July weekend. I bring you special greetings from all the people returning to Chicago on Interstate 94. I apologize, we started a little late this morning. This morning, we are taking a step back from our holiday weekend and from discussing that, and we're beginning our four-week series focusing on exactly what it is we do here at St. Francis. We're taking one aspect of our parish life each Sunday, and during this time, we're drawing out what these actions mean for each of us, for our community, and why each action is important. This week, we look at our most fundamental commitment, that we at St. Francis are a community of Christians who worship God. Next week, we'll be diving into what it means for us to bring others into a relationship with Jesus before we look at what it means to grow in our faith and to care for one another in our community in the final 2 weeks. But this week, we start at the beginning. We worship God. Worship is a plainly elusive concept in the modern world. Most of us, if we're honest, find it a little bit strange, if not downright disconcerting. It brings to mind the image of mindless submission to some all-demanding power. It's kind of offensive. We have images of people chanting things, marching around the pyramids or something. But before we dismiss it completely, I'd invite us to turn to one of the earliest biblical stories. Most of us are familiar. We've seen the TV shows, interpretations of nothing else. Most of us are familiar with the work of Moses in liberating his people from Pharaoh. But let me call to mind just one of the details that may have passed through our memories. Every time that Moses goes to Pharaoh to make a deal for his people's release, he comes with the same message from God. Standing there before the dictator's throne, Moses always says, "Thus says the Lord, let my people go, so that they may worship me in the wilderness." Each time Pharaoh refuses, there's the resulting plague descending upon his people, and each time Moses returns with the same request, "Let my people go, that they might worship." From that moment, among the very earliest moments in the story of God's people, we learn a fundamental fact about what it is to be the people of God. The people of God are a people who worship Him. You can think of all the reasons God could have given Pharaoh, right? "Let my people go because they're my people and not your people." Or, "Let my people go, for you have been too harsh with them." Or, "Let my people go, I promised them a land, and it's their time to take it." But none of these reasons are what God gave Pharaoh. "Let my people go, so that they may worship me." For those here who are fully convinced of God's goodness and love for us, this statement is enough. Why is worship so fundamental to what we do at St. Francis? Simple. We're the people of God, and for the people of God, people worship. That's that. But by God's goodness and generosity towards us, there are those among us this morning who from time to time, if not all the time, are not convinced of God's provision for us and His goodness and love for us. There are more than a few here, even if they didn't identify with that first group, who find an ancient story involving plagues to be the farthest thing they want anything to do with. From here, though, from this point, the reason to worship, it actually gets a little easier, becomes more clear. There are no more ancient stories, no more obscure facts, no more plagues. Just a simple argument on why we first and foremost are a people who worship God. To worship is to surrender. It's not to submit blindly to some all-powerful and threatening dictator, but to willingly surrender. To willingly surrender and say, "I want to live in love with you, in service to you and under your protection. Quickly, you might think, how is this any better than Moses and Pharaoh? I'm not interested in surrendering. But if we think about it, we all do. Consider this, our story just a bit more. When God liberated his people so that they could worship, he gave them a law, that is a way for organizing their society. He gave them some ethical instructions, that is a system from telling right from wrong, good from evil. This all went together as a single piece. Worship God, meaning surrender to him, and God will give you a set of rules and morals to live together as a people who've surrendered. In democracy, for some good reasons and some bad ones, we have decided to surrender to the will of the majority. We've said that if you can get most people to vote in a certain way, then we will all surrender to the decision. So one thing we can't say is that we don't surrender. We all surrender. And the fact that we surrender brings us back to our worship and our choosing to surrender to God. Some of you right now are wondering, did he just advocate some sort of religious law in the United States or a religious government over democracy on the 4th of July, no less? What have I just heard? That isn't it. Democracy is probably the very best form of government we've come up with, given that we haven't all decided to surrender to God, and God makes it pretty clear we can't force people to surrender to him. So we've decided to surrender to one another, and that's better than all of the other alternatives. But that brings us back to the reason why we come here and why the first thing we do as a people at St. Francis, as a community, the foundation for every other action we take, is we worship. We worship God so that we can practice surrendering to him in order for us to learn how to surrender to him in all other aspects of our life. We come here and do some fairly foolish things. We sing as a way of worship. That's more foolish for some of us than others. We bring to God's offer a gift of bread and wine as an bring to his altar a gift of bread and wine as an offering of worship. We recite the core creeds of our faith. All of this in the hope that we might worship him, that we might surrender to God. It was popular for a while amongst theologians to talk about worship as playing. The idea was that our time in worship, right, it's a time outside the world, a time where we get to go and be separated, and we get to live in a kind of make-believe where God loves us and we love each other and get along. At least for 1 hour a week, we get to live in this kind of fantasy land. It's not a crazy idea, but it has some limits. Anyone who's played a game, for example, knows that it's actually not a time without rules. In order to make a game fun for more than just a few minutes, we come up with some rules, or it just becomes kind of messing around, right? And this is why it's so much more fun to play baseball rather than catch. This is why if you give a group of folks a ball, they're more likely than not, within a few minutes, going to have rules and scoring and the whole bit of it, right? When we play a game with rules, right, we don't actually leave the world. We exist in a little separated part of the world, a part with more rules and more expectations. But it turns out those rules and those expectations and those scoring, that's what makes it fun. We come to the altar on Sundays and on weekdays in order to reorient ourselves and recommit ourselves to surrendering first and foremost to God, because we know we would much rather surrender to him than to the will of a political majority, than to the will of our own families and their demands, to the will of our own self and our selfishness, to the will of some good cause, to the will of our work, or to the will of anything or anyone else. We may choose to surrender to those things as well, but only in a limited capacity. For each time we come to the altar, we remember that we surrender to him first. And we start there, because our surrender to God is what empowers all of the other things we do at St. Francis. No longer do we try and pull them off on our own. We don't try and make them happen by our own efforts. Rather, having surrendered to God, then we partner with what he's already doing, with the work that he's already up to in the world. Among that work is caring for one another, for our community, growing in our relationship with Him and bringing others to know Him. The actions we'll be talking about in the coming weeks. But my brothers and sisters, I am glad that we do not surrender completely to those good works, for they would be tiring taskmasters. None of them will get up on the cross and die for us. Rather, as St. Paul says this morning, we boast only in the cross of Jesus Christ, surrendering first and ultimately to God, confident in His goodness toward us and His provision for us. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.